There's a common phrase that neighborhood leaders, historians, and longtime residents use to describe Bed-Stuy.
One of the black meccas of New York City, if not the country.
It's where Biggie Smalls fought some of his first rap battles. The childhood home of June Jordan, a poet and fixture of the black arts movement.
I search a face for obstacles to genocide. I search beyond the dead.
The base of power for the country's first black congresswoman, Shirley Chisholm.
What's wrong with my running for president of this country? After all, for 15 years, I have been the ghostwriter for a lot of them.
And the home of the Marcy Houses, the public housing complex where Jay-Z grew up. It's also where Faith Robinson calls home. She's 27, lived in the neighborhood her whole life.
There's all of three original black families that I remember growing up with.
But her block has changed a lot since she was a kid. And most of her neighborhood friends have moved away. Bed-Stuy, where Faith lives, is at the center of an exodus of African Americans out of New York City. The number of New Yorkers identifying themselves as non-Hispanic and black on the census has dropped by over 125,000 in the last 20 years. Most of that decline has been among African Americans, and it's part of a national trend. During the Great Migration from 1910 to 1970, former enslaved people and their children and grandchildren and so on moved to cities in the North and West. But now their descendants are leaving those major cities and heading to smaller towns, suburbs, and the South. There's lots of reasons why they're leaving. College, retirement, what they say is a better quality of life.
The fresh air, open space.
That's why Anthony Cunningham said he and his wife moved. He grew up in East New York, and his wife is from Haiti. The pandemic shut down their neighborhood restaurant, Café Louverture, which some residents claim had the best Haitian patties in the city. They moved to a cottage with a big backyard in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Population, 50,000.
New York City's a rat race, so you have to become a rat, and you have to stay on that treadmill. If you have a treadmill, you're going to lose.
But many social scientists say the main causes are economic, like the CUNY Medgar Evers professor closely studying the city's changing black population, Zlima Blair.
What does the quality of life depend on? Income. What bang you're getting for your buck?
And incomes among African-American New Yorkers, she says, have stagnated compared to other groups. Across the state, black workers' annual salaries were just two-thirds of white workers from 2014 to 2018. Blair and other scholars point to persistent educational and opportunity gaps, inequities that hit black people and other communities of color the hardest. But some say these economic hardships go even deeper, like president of the Brooklyn chapter of the NAACP, L. Joy Williams.
These issues are not just issues that are persistent in the black community in Brooklyn. They are issues of working class and poor people across the city.
Some fear that the city's shifting demographics could ultimately mean less political representation and resources for African-American New Yorkers. Zlima Blair says that means less programming and services.
And what you're going to find is less advocacy, right, for the African-American community once you start to see this drop-off. You know, why would there be resources put in places for individuals who are leaving or declining?
And longtime Bed-Stuy residents say there's another consequence, too. Like the block parties. Chiyose, one of the youngest city council members ever elected, whose district represents most of Bed-Stuy, says that's what old-timers tell him all the time.
They're just not as vibrant, and there is this loss of connection sometimes in between neighbors.
And fewer spaces for Black youth empowerment, like the Freedom Now School, a place Faith Robinson said was sorely needed.
You know, tell these children that they're Black, they're beautiful, you can be a lawyer, you can be a doctor, you can be anything that you want to be.
Joanne Joyner Wells grew up in Bed-Stuy and has lived there for over 60 years.
At my age, it makes me feel a little lonely. The reason it makes me feel sad is because I have no intention of it.
For her, one of the biggest losses on her block is the 120-year-old Dangler Mansion, where she and her parents hosted their wedding receptions.
I mean, it was our meeting place. It was where we hosted block events. Many of us grew up having Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in that area. And it was primarily, not I shouldn't say primarily, it was for communities of color.
One morning last July, from a nearby sidewalk, she and a crowd of her neighbors and local politicians watched as a demolition machine clawed bricks from the French Gothic-style tower. It collapsed in a cloud of dust. Now it's just an empty lot with a chain-link fence. Councilmember Osei says he's worried too.
We're not going to be able to pass down, you know, these stories and also, you know, continue to create and cultivate the safe Black community that Bed-Stuy has been and hopefully will forever be.
Arya Sundaram, WNYC News.